Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Are you excited, Jim?
I am excited because it's almost over.
Yeah, that's the main reason for excitement at this point. Is we can. This has felt like the longest pre-draft process I can ever remember.
Yeah, this is what happens when you start looking forward to this in December.
Yeah, when your team stinks, there's a whole lot of extra time spent discussing and talking about the draft.
Yeah.
So I tried to push it off as long as I could.
I mean, I tried to get you involved way earlier.
I know.
So it didn't affect me from an entertainment perspective.
Yeah. Which you really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you really enjoying my pain. You relished it.
It's true.
It's not painful. I enjoy the process
you
as do. It gets closer. Right now, I'm probably not enjoying it as much as I'd like. I'm exhausted from this.
Yeah, you've been working hard, man. Your Bengals at 9. Oh. The 5-part series this past month.
You know what
really
I found?
Good.
You know what I found with Bengals at 9 is that this is way more wide open than I thought it would be considering their spot. When you look back, I remember when I first thought, okay, they're at 9, we should be able to pinpoint pretty easily 5 to 10 guys when you start grouping some things together. That will be the guys they'll be picking from. This draft is really unique in that you've kind of got Myles Garrett, the next tier of a few, and each team's board probably has a few that are or are not included in that tier, depending on how they view it. But the same six or so are sort of bandied about, and then you've got everybody else, And I think every team probably has a very different 8 through 15.
Yeah.
The Bengals included. So there's not a whole lot of difference between 9 and 20, to be honest, which is a bad year to be 9.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, Paul, is a lot of this has to do with the quarterback situation. You know, we're a few days before the draft, and no one knows where Mitchell Trubisky fits in. No one knows where a Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. And that, to me, jumbled this. Like, we knew it at the time. Like you said, early on, everyone said this was a weak quarterback class and there's no franchise guy right away. But there is enough interest in them that you're like, wow, quarterback could go 1 or 2. Mahomes is shot up the board. And for a lot of people, where it's like, okay, teens, 10. But look, but then you've got the 3-4 teams in front of the Bengals who have already kind of put out there, we're willing to move back. Well, if they're going to move back, this is assuming someone wants to move up then. And why do you move up? You don't move up for a corner in this draft.
You move up for a quarterback.
You move up for a quarterback. So that's where, like, the interesting stuff with Mahomes, to me, comes in, Paul, because it's like he's the one guy who everyone at the end of the draft, not everyone, but teams at the end of the draft seem really keen on, right? So it's like,
as a developmental guy for a team that already has a quarterback, maybe.
So then what happens then when you're like, wow, he may not get past Arizona at 12. You know what I mean? So, like, it's fascinating in that way.
Yeah, you need somebody to trade. This whole draft season has felt like a quarterback smokescreen fest.
Right.
I mean, according to what we've heard, Mitchell Trubisky could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. Because apparently all those teams either want a quarterback or want to trade out of him.
Right.
I mean,
And so,
and oh, by the way, Old Man Rivers over there in L.A. Chargers. I mean, hey,
who doesn't want to be in L.A. anyway?
That franchise has already done it. They drafted Philip Rivers when they had Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
So would I be shocked if they drafted a QB? No.
No. And it's the most interesting storyline from a Bengals perspective is will one, two, or no quarterbacks go in the top
right.
eight? And it'll probably decide whether they get somebody they want or somebody that they're sort of picking from the next tier down.
Right.
They're picking instead of getting one A, is they, you know, they do everything A, B, and C as portions of each round. So 1A, 1B, they have 1C, right. they have 2A. The difference between them getting 1A and getting a 1B is probably hinging on how many quarterbacks
right.
go. Or if maybe you see a couple of receivers, if Tennessee is in love with Mike Williams or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a – and then because of all of this uncertainty, Paul, it brings in the fact of the Bengals moving back if they can.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
All of a sudden, if Mitchell Trubisky goes one or two – that changes the quarterbacking landscape in a way.
Yeah.
Because now it pushes other players down that maybe the Bengals aren't as interested in. So, and there's a financial reason to get out of the top 10 this year with fifth-year options in 2022. It comes down. It's interesting, actually. Financially, it's a sounder. You don't want to be in the top 10 for that reason.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other thing. But, like, trust me, these teams are aware of that as well.
Yeah.
So, like, it's...
Number 11 is probably the most valuable pick.
Yes.
It's the beginning of the fifth-year option being cheaper.
Yes.
And you still get the best value.
Right. So, I mean, all of this comes into play. It's really... It is really interesting.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the Bengals already have 11 picks. They're probably going to have 11 next year. And then you've got the McCarron trade hanging out there where you could add picks. So... You get to a point, and we've discussed this the entire draft process, of how many picks can you really have
right.
until you just don't have room for them all on
right.
this team. So, and that maybe that brings up trading up at a later date.
Right.
You know, whether you're talking about in the second or third round or whatever. But if moving back is in play, and I do think it's something that the Bengals, along with most teams around their area, want to do, you got to start thinking about how many picks can we really have.
Right.
And Duke Tobin will tell you, you can never have too
right.
many picks. Marvin Lewis will tell you, that's too many
picks.
Picks.
Right.
Because those are guys thinking along different levels,
right.
different things
right.
that are the first thing on their mind when those types of things happen. It's gonna be a fascinating first hour or two
yeah.
of this draft, and we haven't been able to say that really since I've been on this beat. Because we've sat around and watched and wondered, but there's a lot of things at play. Well, here's what I want to do as a little exercise to get us going here, because God knows we've covered just about everything to talk about in this draft. Later on, I want to get into day three, which I believe is the most important day of the entire calendar year for the future of this franchise. There's too many picks there and too many years in a row now where they really have not hit like they did during their playoff runs. The Bengals need to make more hay there. I want to get into day three later. We'll get into some names. We'll talk about why it's so important. We'll talk about a lot of that. We'll talk about that. You'll hear from Duke Tobin and a couple other people. But for now, let's do a little want and need. Let's do a top three.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Sure.
All right. Let's start out with since we've already decided that we would make excellent general managers, and I think that's been proven.
Yes.
When we did our personnel moves they should make.
Yeah.
I think we proved ourselves pretty good there.
Yeah.
And really everything we've done has proven that we deserve a GM spot. At the very least, an assistant director of
right.
player personnel. We'll put that by Duke and see what he says. Who would you want you can't say Myles Garrett. Right, unless you
sure.
trade up to one, would have to be your a part
hey.
Of the scenario. Realistic person
yeah.
that would be there. Who would you want for this team? We'll do a top three. We'll start with
yeah,
one from each
top,
of us.
Top three. My first one is the tight end out of Alabama.
Look
Howard.
At you. We agree.
Yeah.
Because we have not talked about this.
No.
So we agree. You say Howard.
Yeah.
I say Howard as well. I think he's the number one one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just too much about him in terms of skill set, ability to play on the line. I mean, I don't know what they thought Tyler Kroft could be when they picked him. I mean, there was that thought like, okay, here's a guy who blocked at Rutgers, caught passes at Rutgers, but we just haven't seen any of that. You know, he's the closest thing to me, right, since Eifert. So I just think
– and he can block better than Eifert.
Yeah.
He's not as good as like a – he's different than Eifert.
Right.
But he's just as talented.
Yeah. So I think – I mean, he probably has a little more work to do with just consistently pass catching. He wasn't asked to do that all the time under Lane Kiffin there. I think it fills a need, in my opinion. It fills some future needs. But also, he's just a dynamic player, and as I've said over and again on this podcast, Paul, I like touchdowns.
They need to be scored.
Yeah. I love seeing that ball getting chucked around. I don't need it run 40 times. So, you know what? Give Andy Dalton and Ken Zampezi someone else to throw to.
That speed running up the seam when they run four goes, one a Ken Zampezi and Hugh Jackson favorite.
Yeah.
With Eifert on one side doing it, Howard, A.J. Green, and Brandon LaFell or whoever outside.
Yeah.
That is a frightening concept, and they are so much more dynamic. And then if Eifert gets hurt, you have a premier number one tight end, and you won't see. There was just too big of a fall off from Eifert to the other guys last year.
Yeah.
Where there was nowhere near enough there. There was just nowhere near enough of what you needed there.
Yeah.
And clearly this team values that position with their past drafting history. There's nothing wrong in this league. Look around at having two dynamic tight ends.
Yeah.
Some of the best offenses do. There's just so many things I love about that a Howard pick.
Yeah.
You're right. It checks a ton of boxes on this team. Boxes going forward, boxes financially.
Yeah.
There's just a lot to like. All right. So we agree on one. Look at us.
That'll probably be the end of it.
Maybe. We'll see. Because you go ahead and go give me two on your
ones. No, you go two.
I go two. Yeah. All right. So we in play with this is included a trade.
Yeah.
So you could trade back reasonably.
Yes.
So my number two want would be trading back to the mid-teens, somewhere in there, adding whatever it is, a three or like a future two or something.
Something.
Whatever, some decent pick, a day two pick at least, and adding John Ross out of Washington.
Okay.
He is exactly what this offense needs. Speed. He's dynamic. He's really good surprisingly good in the red zone. He could play the outside, over the top type of guy where if the safeties are shaded towards A.J. Green and John Ross is running a go on the other side, you're in trouble. I just, this team needs speed. He's so dynamic on the bubble screens, which Ken Zampezi has used a lot of that underneath quick hit stuff. He is a real deal player. The concern is durability. The concern is his injury issues. The dude ran a 4.22 combine. This team needs speed, and he is speed.
We half agree. So yes, I also agree that a trade to the teens, in whatever function that happens. I also agree on a receiver. I'm going the other way with Corey Davis.
You're going with Corey Davis
because. Look, and it's interesting because there's so many guys in the top half of this draft, Paul, first round, that have medical issues. I personally really dislike college players who have a lot of injury history, and obviously Corey Davis has been hurt this whole time. I guess for me, I think the bigger body. I think he is fast enough. I don't buy into. I guess maybe. Some of it's some Mac bias. I covered the Mac for a while. I think that whole, look, it's not the FCS. It's not Conference USA. No. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really buy that anymore. I think John Ross is kind of too little and way more hurt than Corey Davis. And I think that, you know, he works. No, it's not 4.2 speed. I think it's fast enough speed. If Eifert,
he's probably better after the catch than Ross is. Even as dynamic as Ross is, he's much shiftier in a make you miss kind of way, and he's bigger.
Yeah. So we agree. Yeah, that's pretty close.
I actually mean Corey Davis would be neck and neck with that. I've been a Corey Davis guy since the very beginning of this process.
Yeah.
And I loved his film. I loved the way he played. I liked him even more after his interview at the Combine when there was a lot of scrutiny around his injury and max status. They brought up Antonio Brown there. He's got that Antonio Brown to his personality. There's this inherent chip on his shoulder as a guy who was never recruited.
Right.
And that is just, he's just going to work. He's going to try to outwork everybody. And that's big at this level.
Yeah.
I mean, especially at the receiver position where guys can get a little caught up in themselves. Right.
Especially in this room, let's be honest. Like, if we're in magical fairy tale want land, I mean, that fits right in with A.J. Green.
Right.
That fits right in. I mean, I know Tyler Boyd's got some flair, but fits in with Brandon LaFell.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think Tyler works, and has learned how to work with A.J. Green. And I mean, you got a guy like Cody Core, like it kind of fits the room.
Another question is, well, how's it going to work with that room then, which is gets real full in a hurry? But you know, the Bengals do like to work guys in and give them a chance,
right,
to take their time to get acclimated.
Put it this way: if Corey Davis or John Ross were to be drafted, they would be allowed to get real healthy. there wouldn't be a kind of fly against our early thoughts of it must be an impact player right away. But if they were to move down to do this, there's a guy who's getting worked in. Tyler Boyd stays in the slot is what this means.
Well, yeah, which I definitely think would be the case. But, how he gets – that would be a really interesting situation with Brandon LaFell.
Yeah.
Who you just paid a decent amount of money to. It's an interesting thought. But you're right. We're talking dynamic receiver. All right, number three. Who's your number three?
This is to kind of piggyback off how we started this podcast with this quarterback situation, Paul. I think if I root for chaos, this goes into my NCAA tournament bracket too, and college football rankings, where I just want chaos and just weird stuff no one saw coming. So in my world, my draft wants, that's what this is. I want quarterbacks going. I think. Yeah, craziness happens where it's like Trubisky, Watson, mm-hmm. and even a Mahomes, there's some goofiness happens in that top 7-8. This seems so odd to say, but I think Garrett and maybe like a Solomon Thomas go early. Quarterbacks go early. Fournette, McCaffrey go early. And I'm just wondering if I would want the best defensive end, in my opinion, available, and that's Jonathan Allen.
We got to stop hanging out. Seriously, I have Jonathan Allen as well.
Wow. Yeah, we didn't talk about this at all. We literally went over. Yeah.
We did not discuss it once. We definitely hang out too much. I'm with you. Where I think I wrote about this weekend in the which of the big six type players is most likely to fall. And his shoulders, I think, could scare people away. Arthritic concerns. Yeah. He's had issues with them. But. Jonathan nickel defense, which is this team's base defense, with Jonathan Allen next to Geno Atkins, because he can kick inside on a nickel down. You are bringing it up the middle, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, you are bringing it. Now, and then in round two, you could go edge, or two or three, you could go edge with a guy that then is in a rotation early with Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
And you're feeling a whole lot better. I have a lot of very high hopes for Marcus Hardison, which I think people probably laugh when I talk about Jonathan Allen and I'm bringing up Marcus Hardison.
Right.
Because I really think Marcus Hardison can excel in that role as a defensive end next to Geno, particularly in a nickel situation. I think he could be really good. But Jonathan Allen is already really good.
I think some of that goofiness needs to happen, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'll be honest, Paul. If Solomon Thomas goes ahead of Jonathan Allen, I'd be really surprised by that. Like, Solomon has some burst and made it look good, but I don't know. I like production
And Allen was consistent in the SEC. He's kind of got it all there.
Yeah, I'm.
That's crazy. We're kind of in the same. We're kind of in the same book there. All right, so now let's go from our wants. People can stop listening to us, and let's go who we think the Bengals
like
will actually get, who they will end up with. Our top three, who we think they will end up with in first round when all is said and done. Who's your one?
Honestly, I think it matches up. I think the tight end will still be there at nine.
That's exactly what I have.
Because I just don't – I think there's still going to be some, you know, people who are itchy about a tight end in the top ten because it's never happened. There's going to be, you know, some of that other stuff. So I do – I think O.J. – if they stick at nine, O.J. Howard's still sitting there.
I'm with you. I mean, I would be pretty surprised if he went in the top eight. And then he shows up and he's a fit for all the reasons that we just talked about. So yeah, I'm with you on that. Number two, who do you think they most likely get?
I'm going to go kind of off the other one where I still think a trade back is totally in play. But I'm going to go with it depends where, and then I'm going to go with the tackle. Garrett Bowles out of Utah.
Wow.
I think if they move back to a certain spot and he's sitting there, now it's interesting because Garrett is older already than Fisher and Obwehi. He's got the same sort of weird tape that Obwehi did, never putting his hand in the dirt. He's a developmental tackle, but I think too high for nine for him. But if they were to move back, and this depends where that is, right?
I mean, he's going to be gone at 20, I would think.
Yeah,
Denver seems pretty clear they want to tackle.
But I think if he's there, he might be a BPA situation, and he's
boy,
really
what an interesting message that would be.
And he's the only tackle, Paul. You might want to say, oh, a Forrest Lamp, but I think this team considers Forrest Lamp kind of more of a guard.
Yeah,
and they've got a plethora of those type of guys that can kind of battle that out after Andre Smith.
But they more, I mean, in their eyes, they more need a guard going forward. I mean, I think there's a bigger question mark around whether Andre Smith can play guard, and he's only on a one-year deal,
right,
than there is around, in their eyes,
right,
they still probably view Obwehi and Fisher as the future. But you're right, Bowles gives you versatility if one of those two guys stinks.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this, you know. So, yeah, I think if they trade back, I think that's a guy they...
Okay. All right, so along similar lines, a trade back. I do think there's a decent chance of a trade back.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they would like to. Here's one that I don't think we've heard anywhere, not very often about this team, is UCLA defensive end Tack McKinley.
Yeah.
He has so much burst off the line. He's one of the quickest guys off the line, around the edge. Some see him as maybe a linebacker on the next level, but I think this team would view him as a pass rushing end that they could put down there. I mean, get to the quarterback, period.
Yeah.
Where he starts off, where Michael Johnson early on plays first and maybe second down, depending on the situation. Tack McKinley comes in as your pass rusher off the edge, and then you hope McKinley develops into a three down type of guy. But if he doesn't, I mean, being just a pass rusher is a two out of three down guy now anymore anyway. And he's got all the physical tools. Bengals had him in for a visit, and, you know, he can get to the quarterback, and they need guys that can get to the quarterback. So I think most likely that they end up with him. And I think they like him a lot more than Barnett. So I think that could happen. And in that mid-teens area would be a way where you get the same guy you liked, but you also get to add picks by moving back a little bit.
Yeah.
Or maybe, hell, you just say, screw it. That's the guy we like. I'm taking him at nine. That would be a shocker. They've done stuff like that before. I go back to, remember, the Levi Jones draft for our old school Bengals fans. They were at about 10, I believe, and took him. And everyone said, oh, they reached.
Yeah,
they reached. Well, they've hung that out there as validation.
Right.
When he was so good.
Yeah.
They stuck by their board. This is how we've rated these guys. Maybe not everybody has. Maybe you're going to say we reached, but in the long run, we feel like it's going to be validated. And I could see something like that happening there. All right, three.
I think they'll do the thing, you know, if this guy's there that you've asked a lot about. We talked a little bit about Malik Hooker from Ohio State.
Yeah.
The safety. And we the reason I'll go with that is I just – he's a guy I think maybe slightly behind Adams. I think teams will have – we mentioned the medical red flags on a lot of these guys. I mean, he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like a John Ross had, like, multiple injuries and surgeries after his last season.
Yeah.
But, again, I look at it as a guy who's not going to be asked to play every snap. But, look, this defense needs some playmakers, Paul, and some takeaways. And this kid's got a nose for the ball. It's some of the same things I liked about Daron Smith, but obviously Malik Hooker's done it at a much higher level, 7 picks last year. He's around the ball. In pass, like if he's sitting there, I could see that as a realistic thought for them. And okay, let's get creative at that back end.
I saw a comparison to him to Reggie Nelson, in someone who was doing comps, in that just his ability to ball hawk, like right. Reggie did in 15 yeah. here, where he's just making plays all the place. I think he's better than Reggie Nelson, but in the long run, Reggie Nelson also a first round pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see that. I went back to my once. I have Allen. I think there's a good chance he slips.
Okay.
And I think it's a realistic shot that at 9 Jonathan Allen
yeah.
is there.
Okay. I don't think I guess that's where I went where I just didn't think he would
I think there will be an offensive surprise or two, whether it's McCaffrey. I definitely think Fournette will go up there, and I think somebody will definitely a quarterback somewhere, at least one, and I think the shoulder thing might scare some teams away where they go a slightly different direction, and the Bengals will sit there and say thank you. I'm sure they're loving of that scenario, but I think that's a more likely scenario than people realize. I say that, and he'll go 3. But, right. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I think there's a chance. All right. Good job. That was excellent.
Yeah.
Good exercise.
It was.
We worked it out there.
Hey, we didn't go corner. People will be happy just for that.
I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't talk about it. I just can't do it. I mean, so go ahead.
Round 3, Sidney Jones.
I don't mind that. I think we're going to get to that in a minute. I don't mind that. All right. I do want to talk about something else here. I want to talk about the Great American Dream podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That our buddy C. Trent Rosecrans is doing. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but he's basically giving a glimpse into all of the minor leagues through the eyes of Shed Long, who is currently for the Daytona Tortugas. It is excellent. I just listened to the first episode, which came out today. It is excellent. And so it's going to be coming out regularly throughout the season, and you get a real feel for the minor leagues. I want to play for you a little teaser promo for Great American Dream.
Shed Long is the second baseman of the Daytona Tortugas. Nobody wants to be the second baseman of the Daytona Tortugas, but to be the second baseman of the Cincinnati Reds, you must first be a Daytona Tortuga. I'm C. Trent Rosecrans. I cover the Reds for the Cincinnati Enquirer. In this podcast, Great American Dream, you'll hear from those who have made it, those who haven't, and one player still striving to reach the big leagues. This is Shed Long's Great American Dream. Subscribe to Great American Dream on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Such a cool idea. I'm completely jealous.
Yeah, it is.
I would love to have come up with something like that, and it's so well executed. It's awesome.
Yeah. This is a good reason for you to go to the Canadian Football League.
Yes.
And find the guy trying to – who is that guy that the Bengals brought
in? Rashawn Simonize from Vancouver. He wasn't in the Canadian Football League, though. He just played Canadian college football.
Well,
our dude,
that's
Rashawn.
The hard part. That's the hard part of this for –
we don't really have a comp.
There's
to
no
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really
no, it's a great idea. And it's obviously, awesome. You know, Trent knows what he's talking about and what to do. And Shed seems to me, Paul, is like someone who's has very little interest in the Reds. Like, I'm not from here. I didn't, you know, I mean, I don't cover them. That first, you know, what, who Shed is, what this rebuild's about.
Mm-hmm.
Is fascinating to me, which, of course, I mean, everyone should listen because, like, of course. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. If I'm interested, you should be.
Yeah.
So yeah, you should be.
It's
cool,
and
it's got me hooked.
It's perfect for where the Reds are in their system right now.
Exactly.
The minor leagues are so important. Anyway, check that out. It's the first episode is available now. Just go on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and search "Great American Dream Inquirer" podcast by C. Trent. Check it out. All right, let's move on to day three. I want to start by. I talked to Duke Tobin for a little bit about this concept. I mean, this is, I think, the biggest day of the season for the Bengals. There's just, you go back, when you look at why they were so successful from 2009 to 2012, depending on how you look at it, it was hitting on the third day, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, and not just hitting a little bit.
Right.
Hitting a lot. Geno Atkins, Marvin Jones, George Iloka. I mean, guys that had just huge impacts on this organization.
Yeah.
I mean.
Which, in football speak, Paul, is kind of, I mean, it's like a generation ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about 2012.
Yeah, Clint Bowling is in there.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, kind of what the Jonathan Allen thing, his shoulders. Like, really, you get, if you were to get 5 years out of your number whatever pick, and it's just, it's 5 years is a long time.
It is.
Put it that way.
Name for me the best day three pick of the last 3 years.
The last three. So the including last year's, even though that group doesn't really
play. We don't, yeah, okay.
Okay,
so I mean,
15, 14,
it's hard
and
to judge last year's. I mean, maybe last year's will end up being good. We don't know. So maybe for it basically well, 13, 14, and 15.
This is gonna drive people crazy, but I mean it's Russell Bodine. Man, I know Sean Williams got the extension,
that's
but he's only started 1 year.
Yeah.
And it took him a while to get any
Sean
kind
Williams
of footing.
Was a third round pick.
Right.
He doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, my bad. So, yeah, you're saying day three. So, yeah, it's Russell Bodine. You traded up for a guy who has started from the moment he's walked in.
That tells you all you need to know. Russell Bodine, for starting and being as, at best case, he's been average and they're hoping he'll be better. That's probably the optimistic view. In year four.
Right.
Right. That's the optimistic view. Maybe A.J. McCarron might be, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're looking at the list of truly day three, yeah.
Maybe Rex Burkhead was and we never knew it. But outside of that,
Shaw started.
But he was inconsistent.
Right.
Maybe Marcus Hardison will be.
But again,
we've never seen him.
The whole point.
This is the whole point.
Right.
I named for you before an all-pro defensive tackle and then a couple other guys that have gotten paid at the top of their position, near the top. Clint Bowling's been a starter. George Iloka, Marvin Jones. Those guys are the core.
Kevin Huber's a Pro Bowler.
Kevin Huber.
I mean,
absolutely.
Punters are people too, but
they
seriously,
are.
Like
he's helped win them some games big time. So my point is, they made hay in those rounds. That was what people want to talk about, other guys and trades and and Andy Dalton, AJ Green, obviously.
Right.
Right. What really fueled this team during the playoff run were those picks.
Yeah.
And they just have not hit on those. Maybe Billings will be that. I don't know. Maybe Cody Core will take a massive step this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Christian Westerman, who couldn't get active over a quarterback playing receiver last year, will be good. I don't know. But they haven't done it. And now they have not one, but two full day three drafts.
Yeah.
Now is the time. It has to happen right now because they have a roster in dire need of some dudes from the later rounds that play above their round.
Right.
They need to hit at least two guys of those eight that can be starters with next year and contribute at least a little bit this year maybe.
Yeah.
I mean they really do. You can't have eight picks another day. So anyway, I talked to Duke Tobin a little bit about day three, how you find a day three pick, the importance of it, and how you go about it. So here's a little bit of Duke Tobin, Bengals director of player personnel, on that topic.
You guys, I mean, it's pretty safe to say day three this year is going to be one of the biggest days for you. You guys have had in a long time. The 8 picks. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of spots to fill. What is the key to day 3? I mean, what is the biggest part about identifying players at that point in the draft and hitting? What's the biggest thing for you?
We want to take advantage of opportunities. There'll be guys that we have higher opinions on that are still there, and you want to be true to your board and not pass him because he might not be the position you had in mind, but he's clearly the best prospect. Mm-hmm. We want to stay true to the grades and the board that we have and the talent levels that we see in each one of these guys. And we don't want to drop down a grouping just to fill a need or drop down 2 levels of ability just to fill a need. And I think that's where we've been successful, is staying with the board and taking what it gives us and taking what's available, you know, as we see it.
Yeah. Your teams, especially, it seems like, I guess that's the biggest difference, is teams are more willing to just go along the line of need late in the draft. Maybe
you definitely want to fill in your roster where you have need, and if everything is equal in the player's ability, and as you go down the draft, as you get further down the board, you end up with wider groupings of players that are all comparable, and so you end up with the ability to fill your need because there's many more players available in the 6th and 7th round. The pool is big; it's a giant pyramid, and when you're down at that level, there's a lot of guys worthy of the pick. And then you can start focusing on needs a little bit because you're not dropping down a level in talent. The talent level is comparable. You just have a bigger pool to choose from.
Yeah.
When you're at the top, you've got a smaller pool to choose from that are worthy of the pick from a ability standpoint.
Right.
So as you go down the draft, the chances to fill needs grows. It's easier to fill a need and still stay true to your board and your grades.
Rarer at that point to find an Andrew Billings who's just sitting all alone way up top.
That was a good pick for us. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he got hurt, and how he comes back from that remains to be seen. We have high hopes for him, but he's got to come in and do it. And you know, we've got a couple kids that are still rookies.
Yeah.
And that's not ideal, but that's the hand that we were dealt and they were dealt. You can't predict injuries. And so they'll be coming in still fresh and still green, we'll see how they do.
You guys had a run from 10 to 12 on day 3 of just dominating. I mean, Gino and Clint and Marvin Jones and George Iloka, that's hard to do on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, it's two parts. It's believing in the guy when he comes in and then developing him to fit what you do and giving him the opportunity to grow. As our team has gotten more talented, it's been harder for young guys to break in and fill those roles because we've got guys in those roles already.
That's kind of what I was going to say, because in recent years, obviously there haven't been those levels. There's been some good players, certainly. Has it been like what you were saying mostly, that there's just been guys in their way and you haven't been able to get the truest instant
we've had
impact?
Young guys that we like that we just, you know, they just haven't gotten the opportunity because of other guys who are in the plan. And we've got guys on our team right now that we have a lot of belief in that haven't gotten the opportunity yet, and we hope that they do here as we go. But we got a lot of young guys that we think can be good players and come on and have good careers. So kind of exciting to get them back on the field and see where we are. It's disappointing when you lose young guys to injuries. It's disappointing.
All right, so there's Duke on that topic. I mean, and so let's talk a little bit about some. It's really hard to pinpoint these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, really hard.
Yeah.
We can have ideas, and we can look at certain things, but, you know, it's who you like as a franchise. You just it's complete. Shut your eyes and spin around 3 times and throw a dart.
Right.
You just never know. But some guys that we see, have you had any that you've noticed?
I think it's funny, Paul, because a lot of guys who I liked early, I thought in this area would be have already kind of shot up draft boards. You know, I'll go with the easy one because he's kind of local. You know him. He's an Ohio U guy.
Oh, Are you going to talk about my boy Terrell Basham?
Yeah.
Oh, my boy Terrell Basham.
I mean, he really popped at the Senior Bowl. That's kind of where he really kind of caught the eye of people. You know, he had the great run of production at OU and you know, Senior Bowl, he kind of did some damage against these quote-unquote mid, you know, big name, big conference guys. You know, I think he's the first one that, to me, Paul, that pops. Because, A, if it's a need, you know, and will likely be there. You know, I thought Hassan Reddick might have been like a third round type of guy,
and
but
it turns out he might go in top 15. Yeah.
So, just going back to my week at the Senior Bowl, those were the two that really jumped to me from like the kind of the mid major, if you will. And as I said earlier, Corey Davis, I don't really buy some of that stuff. And I think he showed enough, and you know,
I got one here. And I talked about him a little bit with the Pro Football Focus guys, if you listen to that one. Tano Passanio, defensive end from Villanova, is made to be a Bengal. I mean, this you could not make it more obvious unless he changed his name to Tano Bengalzo.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a terrible joke. I should just edit that out. That's on my I might. Just awful. Tano Passanio, 6'7", 290 pounds, freak athlete coming off the edge. It's Margus Hunt point 2.0, but hoping that it doesn't end up like 1.0 did.
Right.
He had 21.5 tackles for loss last year and 11 sacks. He is the prototype. Now, the Bengals have said they're willing to get away from the prototype. That doesn't mean they don't still love the prototype.
Yeah.
And he is that. And if you get him because he's a small school guy and he's a project guy, but you could get him in the third round or something like that, maybe even later.
Yeah.
Maybe he does slide back later. And you hope within a year he's not as big of a project as Margus Hunt was. I mean, Margus Hunt is still learning the game. This guy has played the game. I love that as a guy to look for. And I think they would be looking for him.
You mentioned, looking for when I mentioned the Bulls pick. You know, like, oh, they're kind of looking for a guard. He'll probably be gone. I think this would depend on really how the first two rounds went for them. And this isn't even day. See, that's the thing, Paul. Day three. I mean, it's just a bad lineman class. Like, I think this is a day three guy, but he's gonna maybe overdrafted. But I'll just say him because again, you just never know it. In day three, right? Mm-hmm. The center out of LSU, Ethan Posick, you know, he's played all five positions. I think the Bengals view him as a center, despite the fact that he's 6'6". I think he's a day four guy, right? Or day three guy, but yeah. He might be gone. I think that type of guy, I guess, that big interior guy. I don't know, I'm not really doing the exercise very well for you here because I think that's a guy who he played tackle at LSU. I don't think it translates there at all, but you know, TJ Johnson got an extra year. He's under contract a year longer than Russell Bodine is.
I mean, you can't go wrong picking somebody on the offensive line.
Right.
At this point.
Especially big conference LSU, we know how they feel about that program and those linemen.
Who knows what the 2018 Bengals offensive line is going to look like? I mean, if you can bring in some reinforcements there, it would be welcome in any spot. I mean, think about that. Could you? I mean, will they bring Bodine back? Who knows?
Right.
Will Andre Smith be back? Will he be hurt and retired? Will
he'll be in his
have
10th
turned
year
into
by
a
then.
Great guard?
Yeah.
I don't know. Will Cedric Abuehi have flunked out? Will Jake Fisher have flunked out?
Right.
Again, Clint Bowling is the only thing I feel fairly positive we know will be here in 2018 for sure starting.
Yeah.
You need to draft that position. That's one they're going to have to address. And you talk about guys that you would love to hit on day three, the core of a team making playoff runs. It's getting a guy that can fill in and erase a question mark late in the draft on your offensive line, which is a giant question mark going forward. So maybe that's the guy.
Yeah, and this other name, and as we were thinking about this, I think Duke Tobin mentioned him at the combine, which maybe means that there's no way he's still around in day three. So it kind of fits that mold of like borderline day three would be an Adam Shaheen out of Ashland, the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
you know, 6'6", and now there's your small cool question.
I don't think he'll make it today.
Again, that's the thing where I've seen it anywhere from 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if like a Jake Butt fits in there too with Michigan, some of the injury issues.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. I'm glad you talked about that. And we've touched on this before. And when it comes down to where are these 11 guys
right.
going to go, this is a great year for the Bengals to take one or two guys in day three that are on day three because of injury issues
right.
for a year.
Right, yeah, where you can almost stash him like a Sidney Jones.
An absolute stash. Sidney Jones has a stash. Jake Butt, if you think, you know,
right.
you name a player that got hurt maybe in a bowl game or whatever and is not going to be able to have a full first year. But because you have so many picks, you stash him, and then next year he's a big-time player for you. And, you know, Sidney Jones is a first-round pick
right.
before he got hurt. So you could have a first-round corner without using a first-round corner.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I know people are listening to me like, oh, Jim, those aren't day three guys. I mean, the first three rounds, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So I know all of those could be easily drafted in the third round, but there's a very thin line
yeah.
between third round and the Bengals picking early in round four, late in round four, early round five, or maybe move packaging up and moving up in the middle of round four, like they did for Bodine.
I have a guy that I don't know that they'll pick, but I love for them. And it's Mac Hollins from North Carolina,
yeah.
the receiver. I just think he's the perfect fit for what they do and what they want. If they don't take a receiver in the
right.
early rounds and they're looking for value, a guy who could come in, a great special teamer who could go over the top. You know, they've taken players from North Carolina before. I think there's a lot of familiarity and trust in the staff there. He seems like a really nice fit and ability to come in and make an impact as arguably one of the best deep ball guys in this draft, or Josh Reynolds out of A&M, also
yeah.
that same mold. Reynolds will go before Hollins. And, you know, I've talked to people that have UNC connections, and they're like, we don't understand why people aren't higher on Hollins. He showed that he can be a big-time over-the-top receiver, and you can work with the rest. He's not deficient at the rest of his game. He can figure the rest out, but he's got
right.
the long speed, enough of the long speed where maybe his speed at the combine wasn't a great number, but his game speed was great.
Yeah.
So I was talking to George Iloka about why day three guys end up being successes. So what is it about certain guys that, you know, because George obviously was a
yeah.
fifth round pick and a great success. And a lot of it, he was kind of talking about how it stems back to you end up taking a step that people were doubting on you for. He said, you know, he's like, I ran bad. I had a bad combine.
Yeah.
No one was watching my tape where I made plays.
Yeah.
And people got obsessed with my bad combine and the fact that I was already going to be a mid to late round pick, and they washed me off later.
Yeah.
And all it was a bad combine and some bad times, and turns out I can play. You could see a similar type of thing with a guy like Hollins, who people would not like him because, oh, well, he's supposed to be a long guy, and he didn't run good.
Right.
Well, all he did was run away from guys in the ACC.
Right.
So maybe you should be taking – so I think he's also an option and somebody when you're looking at what they're looking for, somebody that could stick out.
You know what hitting on a late-round draft pick is?
What is that?
It's a smarter choice, Paul.
Is it the smarter choice?
It is a smarter choice. You know what else is a smarter choice?
What?
Dollar Shave Club.
Oh, look at you.
That's professional.
Is it?
It is. Because it's a great shave at a great price.
Tell me more.
Right to your door, conveniently. Actually, I get this. It is sent to me. Cheap disposable razor. And it's, because look, it's a lot of money to buy razors.
It is.
You know this because you like shave your whole head.
Dude, I know.
And
I gotta do a whole. I gotta take care of a whole face
yeah.
and head on
a
regular basis.
Yeah. So you know, it's just when I use the Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor with the Dr. Carver Shave Butter, it's gentle, it's smooth. Wife loves it. It's transparent. It's precise. And it is the smarter choice. And
yeah.
you can be – it's like making a late-round draft pick, Paul.
It is. And you know what else? For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter for only $5 for free shipping. You talk about a deal.
Yeah.
So after that, razor's just a few bucks a month. Your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle – full set of four cartridges, tube of shea butter. I mean, life is good for you. So no hidden fees, no commitments. You can cancel anytime you want to. So yep. If that pick stinks, you cut it.
Yep.
You cut them.
Yep.
Get out of here.
And obviously, because you guys are listening to the Bengals Beat podcast, so you can join it today at dollarshaveclub.com/beat. That's dollarshaveclub.com/beat.
How about that?
Yeah.
We are delivering the deals today, boy. All right. All right. Let's move on. We've talked a little bit about day three. We talked about the first round. I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, we have.
We've covered a lot of ground, and we've covered a lot of ground over the last exhausting 3-4 months about this draft, and we're just ready for the damn thing to happen already. So let's just go ahead and make it happen. But in the meantime, I want to know why you are mad, Jim. So tell me,
you know what?
Why you were mad.
It's a little bit of a play off of our thing that made me mad last week with the GOAT acronym. So if anybody follows me on Twitter or Bengals long snapper Clark Harris, you saw literal goats running past our homes this weekend, which was awesome. Like, the event itself did not make me mad. What kind of was making me mad was you had these goats on leashes, and I wasn't cool with that. Like, I mean, they kind of look like dogs running on a leash, like kind of choking themselves like like a dog would. But what made me mad about it was apparently last year they were like free running goats.
Right.
And then the goats were like, screw you, humans. We are going wherever we want. And once I learned this, the goat run, which was supposed to be awesome and make me happy, made me mad.
Made you mad.
Because I
wanted them to be running free.
I'm like, this goat could be on my porch doing a Wu-Tang Mad Lib with me. Instead, no, it's on a leash, you know, taking a dump on the curb.
That's what you want.
It made me mad. No, that's not what I wanted.
No,
I wanted
no,
it
no.
In the Mad Lib,
yeah.
In my lap.
Yeah, but you want them roaming free.
Yes, that's what I wanted. And, like, then humans chasing goats as opposed to the humans running with the goat.
Yeah.
So it went from awesome to making me mad.
Yeah, goats aren't dogs.
That bit, no.
They don't.
That
they should be leashed up. It doesn't feel
yeah.
right.
They should hop. They want to jump on things.
Yeah. Although your video of the goat run is fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
That's just,
it opens with a woman being like, only in Kentucky is there goats running
down
the street.
I just love how this is not really a sanctioned thing. Like, it's
no,
just people
just
decided.
No,
they don't shut down a road for it.
No.
It's not like an official parade. It's just they decide, hey, tomorrow at 6, we're all going to take these goats and run down the street with them.
It's great.
It's just,
it still really made me mad.
It really is. Clark Harris said him and his son got on there like a scooter and stuff, and they just started to join them.
Yeah.
They just went with them, which is just great. You know what's making me happy? What made me happy this weekend was, for those that don't know, in about a month, I'm going to be a dad.
Yeah.
Which is frightening, but I'm excited about it. But I'm mostly excited about a stuffed animal head llama that was found at Target this weekend that we have. So if you've gone, there's a couple of stores that have these. One very nice store down in OTR does these stuffed animal heads that you put on the wall of kids. So, like, adults have deer heads on their wall. Well, kids, what would they have? They would have a stuffed animal head
yeah.
mounted on their wall. So my wife and I love this concept. It sounds hilarious
yeah.
to us. But we didn't want to spend all the money that it takes to get one of those real expensive ones, like the expensive flamingos, like $150, $200.
Yeah.
Like, we're just talking about a kid's wall decoration.
Right.
Here. And then we're in Target, and we see a bunch of them, but they weren't as good. And then all of a sudden, we see a llama. And it's like a true llama with like tassels with balls on the
yeah.
end of it. Frightening and creepy by every stretch of the imagination. And decide, you know what? Buy it. Hung it up right above the crib. And so my theory is, if it's all you've known your whole life, it's not scary or creepy. And I feel like there's a life lesson that we're going to teach
there
in
is.
That.
That's true.
This creepy thing above your crib that you're going to see every day is not going to be scary to you because you're just used to it, and you now know that llamas with tassels and balls are not
yeah.
to be something to be afraid of.
That would
of.
Make me happy.
Maybe that's bad parenting. Maybe you're supposed to be afraid of creepy llamas, and now in real life there's going to be a mad llama incident with my son or daughter. Maybe I should take it all back.
No.
Llama, I'm already doubting myself as a parent.
I'm a fan of llamas. Maybe there could be a llama run.
Yes.
No, actually, llamas should be leased because those things are mean.
Yeah. This is what
so
I'm
no,
saying.
So, no, I think it's
I think
good.
I've made my first parental mistake. I'm already regretting it.
Hey,
it,
you know what? You didn't go full taxidermy.
No.
You know,
no,
with like the,
it's
with,
not a real
with like the tongue hanging out the side and the cross eyes, like I was murdered to be here.
Yeah.
So no, I think you've made a good decision.
I was murdered to be here. Also not a good thing to teach to your kid. You know, they're very impressionable in their early years. I was murdered to be here. Not a good message. All right. On that note. Let's get some music to get us out of here.
Yeah.
And it feels like we need something in the area of the fact that this long process is finally coming to an end.
We can either, what I thought of was you could go straight up Survivor by Destiny's Child. Because, you know, you are a survivor.
Oh,
you made
yeah.
it. Or.
Surviving the grind.
You know, the sort of some odd play off the fact that the NFL Network's going to do some weird Rocky-related stuff in Philadelphia this weekend. You know, we could go with the band Survivor,
mm-hmm.
and you could kind of go. Yeah, I mean, it's the band Survivor. I mean, you can go anything there.
What about the final countdown?
We can definitely do that.
And now I want to bring back a favorite that we've done in the BBP in the past.
Yes.
You know where I'm going with this?
Oh yeah.
Because anytime I can find any excuse to break out the kazoo kalaylee version
yeah.
of the final countdown, you know I'm going to do it. And it just feels right. For those that are BBP fans, you've heard this before.
Yeah.
We have played it for you before. If you haven't seen it on YouTube, immediately stop what you're doing and YouTube search kazoo kalaylee final countdown.
Yes.
And thank me later because it's amazing. It's from like 10 years ago now. It's one of the best things on YouTube.
Yep.
But in case you haven't seen it, I'll just play it for you right now on our way out because it is final countdown of the draft. Next week, we will have on Monday the draft review podcast. There's going to be so much information there. It's going to be hard. And make sure you check out this weekend. Have our Bengals app. That's really the most important thing. We are going to send an alert out as soon as a pick is made.
Paul will appear in your pocket.
I will show up.
Freshly shaven from Dollar Shave Club.
I will.
So smooth.
Shiny.
And shiny.
Yeah.
In your pocket.
That's how you want me. And so we'll buzz your pocket after every pick. And then as soon as we get done talking to the coaches and players and getting some other analysis together, send you all the information so you know everything there is to know about every single pick, all 11 of them. That's right. We're going to be down here sacrificing our lives potentially for you on Saturday because we may die trying to do 8 picks in essentially a 6-hour period. So pray for us.
Yeah.
But anyway, so make sure you have the Bengals app. Go to the App Store, Inquirer Bengals app. Make sure you pick that up. And we'll give you all the information you need during the draft. Outside of that, if you want to, chicksinsanity.com. We'll have our draft tracker up there at all times. So any point in time, you can go there, open it up, see all the latest with all the links to all the picks that have happened to that point. It'll always be updated to the minute. So keep an eye out for that. Until then, the kazoo kalaylee boy.
Yeah.
What a great mention. Yeah, it's a final countdown. So we'll talk to you later.
Guess there's no